the killing of Renee Nicole Good, the invasion of Venezuela, Trump's conspiracy for dictatorship, and the lessons of the American Revolution. The brutal killing of Renee Nicole Good by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, HRIC agents, and the Trump administration's invasion of Venezuela mark a qualitative escalation in the drive toward dictatorship at home and imperialist conquest abroad. These events expose the Trump administration as a regime of fascist criminals that increasingly operates through raw force, dismisses legality as an inconvenience, and regards the working population, domestically and internationally, as an enemy to be subdued. The invasion of Venezuela, launched on January 3rd, was carried out to abduct the country's president, Nicolas Maduro, an act of imperialist aggression that violates the most basic norms of international law and state sovereignty. The United States quickly signaled its intention to seize control of Venezuela's vast oil reserves, transfer tens of millions of barrels of crude to the U.S., and assert indefinite dominance over the country's energy exports. In the days that followed, Washington seized several oil tankers, including one flying a Russian flag, and issued ultimatums demanding that Caracas sever economic ties with Russia, China, Iran, and Cuba, and align its oil production exclusively with U.S. interests. 4 days later, on January 7th, ICE agents fatally shot Renee Nicole Good, a 37-year-old Minneapolis mother of three. The immediate response of administration officials, which has been to praise the ICE killer and slander Good, makes clear that the killing is treated not as a crime to be prosecuted, but as a precedent for future killings. Countless millions of people in the United States and throughout the world have seen the video recording of Good's murder. Their eyes do not deceive them. But this has not stopped Trump, Vice President Vance, and other administration officials from constructing a narrative based on blatant lies, in which the victim of ICE violence is accused of being responsible for her own death. The White House is using the murder to justify the expansion of paramilitary operations in major cities and the criminalization of dissent under the banner of a war against the radical left. There are reports of checkpoints being set up in Minneapolis as the city is placed under effective occupation. Criminality abroad and dictatorship at home are inextricably linked. The oligarchy has elevated Trump because it can no longer defend its interests through legal and democratic forms. Moreover, the vast resources required to wage war for global dominance must be extracted through a frontal assault on the working class and demands ever greater repression and violence. On January 6, 2021, Trump spearheaded a coup that sought to halt the transfer of power and overturn the Constitution. This coup is now being implemented under a second Trump administration, overseen by the sitting president of the United States. The descent into dictatorship cannot be explained as merely the product of Trump's personal ambitions or psychopathology. The United States is governed by a capitalist oligarchy that fuses the aristocratic outlook of monarchy and the ideological reaction of the Slavocracy with the class interests of finance capital. 250 years since the American Revolution and the repudiation of its legacy. The assault on democratic rights and the conspiracy to transform the United States into a fascistic dictatorship is unfolding amid the approaching celebration of a great historic anniversary. During this year, 2026, the American and international working class will observe the 250th anniversary of the proclamation of the Declaration of Independence on July 4, 1776, a world historical event that founded the United States and marked the beginning of a new epoch of political and social revolution. The military struggle against British rule began in April 1775, when the colonists took up arms at Lexington and Concord. But the American Revolution did not arise as an orderly constitutional dispute conducted by a small layer of colonial notables. It occurred as a consequence of the radicalization of broad sections of the population in opposition to the increasingly oppressive actions of the British monarchy and imperial administration. As repression intensified, through arbitrary executive power, punitive economic measures, the denial of basic rights, and the use or threat of military force, the conflict drove the development of mass resistance that could no longer be contained within established political channels. This radicalization found expression in an eruption of new forms of political self-organization. Tens of thousands of ordinary people were drawn into active political life, creating local committees, assemblies, and networks of coordination that challenged imperial authority and increasingly displaced it. As the historian Richard Allen Ryerson explains, the American Revolution mobilized tens of thousands of ordinary men in hundreds of communities, large and small, to change both the political and social order. 15 months after Lexington and Concord, delegates assembled in Philadelphia adopted a declaration drafted by 33-year-old Thomas Jefferson that proclaimed universal democratic principles as the basis of the struggle for American independence. The document includes what is arguably one of the most revolutionary sentences ever written. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Profoundly rooted in the Enlightenment thought of the 17th and 18th centuries, shaped by the great materialist political and social theorists of that historical period, the Declaration asserted the right of the people to the revolutionary overthrow of oppressive governments. In Jefferson's words, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it." The historical legacy of the American Revolution acquires burning actuality in the present. The principles proclaimed 250 years ago are being repudiated on every front. The Bill of Rights lies in tatters, and the political system is being remodeled on the basis of dictatorship. All the grievances against King George III outlined in the Declaration, including that he sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people, could serve as an indictment of the present government. Social inequality in the class foundations of authoritarian rule. 2.5 centuries after the American Revolution proclaimed that all men are created equal, social inequality has reached levels without parallel in modern American history. In 2025 alone, U.S. billionaires, roughly 900 individuals, increased their net worth by 18%, bringing their combined holdings to nearly $7 trillion. 10 individuals account for $2.4 trillion of this total. Elon Musk, the wealthiest among them, has seen his fortune rise to $749 billion, more than the GDP of entire countries. Capitalizing on his position at the apex of the state, Trump increased his net worth from $4.3 billion to $7.3 billion in a single year, vaulting more than 100 places up the list of America's richest individuals. According to data released this week by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, labor's share of income in the third quarter of 2025 fell to its lowest level on record in the United States. Tens of millions confront falling wages, surging prices, and unmanageable debt. Corporations are using artificial intelligence to eliminate jobs en masse in a bloodbath that will intensify further in 2026. The Trump administration oversees a sweeping assault on core social programs, including Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, food assistance, public education, and public health, seeking to finance global war and domestic repression by stripping the population of even the most basic protections. This social reality is the basis of dictatorship. When a tiny layer monopolizes wealth and power, democratic forms become increasingly incompatible with the preservation of oligarchic rule. The ruling class responds not by reforming the system, but by discarding the forms of legality and expanding the instruments of coercion. The Democrats' complicity and the bankruptcy of reliance on the state. The social, economic, and political conditions that have produced Trump are the outcome of decades of bipartisan policy. The utter incapacity and unwillingness of the Democratic Party to oppose Trump's dictatorship reflect the reality that the entire political system is controlled by the capitalist oligarchy. 5 years ago, Trump attempted to overturn the results of the 2020 elections in a fascist coup. The Biden administration treated Trump with kid gloves, and he was never held accountable for this criminal conspiracy. During the 2024 elections, he pledged to rule as a dictator from day one, and the Democrats themselves described him as a fascist. Yet over the past year, as he systematically implemented the drive for dictatorship, the Democrats have worked tirelessly to suppress and demobilize opposition. Trump carries out criminal and unconstitutional actions without even the suggestion from the Democratic leadership that he should be removed from power. Their priority is never the defense of democratic rights, but the preservation of capitalist rule. They agree with the essential content of Trump's agenda: militarism, austerity, corporate deregulation, and the expansion of the repressive apparatus of the state. What they fear above all is not Trump's dictatorship, but the eruption of a mass movement from below that threatens the foundations of the capitalist order. To rely on the Democratic Party is to render any genuine opposition to dictatorship impossible. The strategy of the Socialist Equality Party: build organs of workers' power. The events of the first week of 2026, the invasion of Venezuela and the killing of Renee Nicole Good, mark a political turning point. Protests are already developing across the country, including more than 1,000 demonstrations on Saturday. Outrage over the murder is intersecting with a broad popular opposition to war, dictatorship, inequality, and the vicious persecution of immigrants. But the aim of these demonstrations cannot be to appeal to the very gangsters orchestrating these crimes to change their policies. As the demonstrations against the Gaza genocide proved, protests that are not guided by a political strategy aimed at the mobilization of the working class are ineffective. The Socialist Equality Party puts forward the following demands and program for the protests against the murder of Renee Nicole Good: the immediate arrest and prosecution of all those responsible for the murder of Renee Nicole Good, the withdrawal of all ICE, Customs and Border Protection, CBP, and Department of Homeland Security, DHS, forces from Minneapolis and every other city, the abolition of these Gestapo agencies that terrorize immigrant communities, the immediate release of all detainees held in ICE custody, and an end to all raids, renditions, and deportations, full legal rights and protections for all immigrant workers and their families, the withdrawal of all troops from Venezuela and the Caribbean, and the dismantling of the U.S. war machine, repudiation of all support for Israel and solidarity with the Palestinian people facing an ongoing genocide. To fight for these demands requires the organized intervention of the working class, the social force that produces everything and whose interests are fundamentally opposed to the oligarchy's assault on democratic rights and social conditions, the complete political and organizational independence of the working class from the Democratic Party and its collaborators and apologists, the recognition that the fight against war and the attack against democratic rights must be linked to a fight against the capitalist system, the implementation of an international strategy that recognizes the necessity to connect the struggles of workers within the United States with those of the working class throughout the world. The fight against globally organized transnational corporations cannot be waged on a purely national basis. How to begin? The CEPI calls for the building of rank-and-file committees in every workplace, school, hospital, and neighborhood. These organizations must be independent of the corporatist trade union apparatus, which functions as an arm of the state and blocks genuine resistance. They must be developed as centers of resistance, uniting all sections of the working class in industry, logistics and transport, restaurants and fast food, social services, legal defense, education, public services, arts and culture, entertainment, medicine, healthcare, the sciences, computer technology, programming and other specialized professions, together with student youth against Trump's fascist government, the complicity of the Democrats and the broader assault on democratic rights and living standards. In the same way that the radicalization of the population in the 1770s produced new forms of political self-organization, committees and assemblies that challenged imperial authority, the fight against dictatorship today requires the conscious construction of independent organizations of workers' power. It is for this purpose that the SEP and the International Committee of the Fourth International, ICFI, initiated the formation of the International Workers Alliance of Rank and File Committees, IWARFC. The factories and workplaces, where the working class is concentrated, where production and logistics can be halted, and where the social power of labor is most directly expressed, must become centers of organized opposition to dictatorship. Rank and file committees are the practical means through which workers can coordinate actions across industries and borders, defend targeted communities, expose state and corporate propaganda, and unify struggles against repression, austerity, and war into a conscious political movement. The logic of the struggles of workers in defense of their social and democratic rights leads toward unified mass action, including a general strike. It is necessary to revive the great traditions of class struggle, including the historic 1934 Minneapolis general strike, in which workers confronted and defeated a brutal campaign of corporate and state repression. No serious movement can be waged against fascism without a direct frontal assault on the wealth and power of the capitalist oligarchy. The obscene fortunes of the billionaires must be expropriated, and the giant banks and corporations transformed into public utilities, democratically controlled and operated for the benefit of society, not private profit. The oligarchs' domination over political and economic life must be ended. The claim advanced by figures like the newly elected mayor of New York, Soran Mamdani, that the conditions of workers can be addressed by tinkering around the edges through minor reforms is a dangerous political trap. The financial oligarchy, like the monarchy and the Slavocracy before it, demonstrates through the actions of the Trump government that it is not interested in reform. Its response to opposition is violence and repression. We emphasize this is not only an American struggle. The crisis unfolding in the United States is the sharpest expression of a global process. Workers in every country face the same attacks, and they must unite across borders to confront the global system of imperialism and war. Nationalism is the breeding ground of fascism. The SEP fights for the international unity of the working class and the overthrow of the capitalist system in every country. The first American Revolution, 1775-83, was a struggle against the domination of the British Empire. The second American Revolution, 1861-1865, required the destruction of slavery through civil war. The Third American Revolution, developing as the most critical element of an international struggle, is against the capitalist oligarchy that rules the entire social and political system. It is a question of the conscious and organized offensive of the working class for socialism to take political power, establish genuine organs of democratic rule, and reorganize economic life on the basis of social need. In the course of his interview with the New York Times, Trump was asked, "Is there anything that you think can constrain your power on the world stage?" He replied, "Yeah, there is one thing. My own morality. My own mind. It's the only thing that can stop me." The White House megalomaniac is wrong. There is a power greater than Trump and the oligarchy. It is the power of the American and international working class. But the program and leadership needed to fight back must be built. The Socialist Equality Party advances this strategy as the way forward for workers and youth who want to fight. We call on all those who agree with this perspective to join the SEP and take up the fight for socialism to secure a future free from fascism, war, and capitalist barbarism.
Israel kills 14 Palestinians as Trump prepares imperialist board of peace for Gaza. By Kevin Reed. Israeli airstrikes across the Gaza Strip in the last 24 hours have killed at least 14 Palestinians, including children. The attacks, launched under the pretext of responding to a, quote, failed rocket launch, end quote, by Palestinian militants, targeted displaced families sheltering in tents and schools, as well as residential areas in Gaza City. Palestinian medics reported that Israeli airstrikes on Thursday killed 14 Palestinians in separate attacks. Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, claimed it was striking a rocket launch site and, quote-unquote, terror infrastructure, after detecting a rocket launched from the area of Gaza City that fell short and landed by a hospital inside the enclave. Israel branded the launch as a violation of the ceasefire by Hamas. In a formulation supported by multiple Western outlets, the IDF asserted that these strikes were a legitimate response to a quote-unquote failed projectile launched by Palestinian militants, the same narrative that has been used to justify previous atrocities, such as the bombing of Gaza's Al-Ali Hospital in 2023 and other attacks later exposed as Israeli war crimes. A Palestinian militant source told Reuters and other wire services that the organization was still, quote-unquote, checking the allegation of a misfired rocket, underscoring that even on its own terms, Israel's story remains unsubstantiated while the civilian death toll mounts. One of the deadliest attacks took place in the western area of Khan Yunis in the southern Gaza Strip, where an Israeli airstrike hit a tent sheltering displaced people. Medics said at least four people were killed and three others wounded in the tent, including children. With the families already having been driven from their homes by earlier bombardments, they were incinerated or blown to bits in what had been designated a quote-unquote safe area. Gaza's civil defense spokesman, Mahmoud Bissal, reported that four people, including three children, were killed when a drone struck the tent shelter. These killings, occurring in makeshift camps where thousands have been forced to live on bare ground and plastic sheeting, are part of the ongoing deliberate campaign to make life in Gaza physically unlivable and to push the population to leave the area. In northern Gaza, the IDF extended its onslaught to one of the last refuges for families who have nowhere left to go. Also on Thursday, medics reported that a man was killed in an Israeli strike on a school in Jabalia that was sheltering displaced families, again in flagrant violation of the supposed ceasefire and international humanitarian law. Gaza's civil defense agency confirmed that an 11-year-old girl was killed near the Jabalia refugee camp and that a strike on a school in the area killed another person. Israeli warplanes continued to hit civilian infrastructure that has been turned into makeshift shelters by months of continuous bombardment. The killing of children in schools and camps, places marked precisely because they house those driven from their homes, exposes the fraudulent character of all claims that Israel is conducting quote-unquote precision strikes on military targets. In Gaza City, fresh strikes hit the Zaytun neighborhood, one of the most devastated areas in the enclave, and a zone where hundreds of thousands have been confined west of the Israeli-imposed yellow line under the U.S.-brokered truce. Medics and local officials reported that four people were killed in a separate strike in Zaytun, adding to the toll of the killings since the supposed ceasefire went into effect in October. Al Jazeera and other outlets have documented repeated attacks on residential homes and warehouses in Zaytun and other Gaza City districts, with Palestinian civil defense crews often forced to dig bodies from the rubble using rudimentary tools due to the destruction of heavy rescue equipment. These attacks are part of a systematic pattern that aims to depopulate entire neighborhoods, not isolated, quote-unquote, responses to any incident. The latest killings violate the Trump-brokered ceasefire and, quote-unquote, peace plan announced last October, which the White House presented as a 20-point roadmap to end the war and reconstruct Gaza. According to the Council on Foreign Relations and UN reporting, Israel has carried out more than 100 shellings and shootings in Gaza, rejected over 100 humanitarian aid requests, and has continued to impose a crippling siege in the months since the agreement was proclaimed. The Palestinian Health Ministry reported that at least 425 Palestinians have been killed and more than 1,200 wounded in Israeli attacks since the truce supposedly took effect. This figure has been corroborated by international and independent outlets. The ongoing killings, combined with Israel's systematic obstruction of food, fuel, and shelter, constitute a continuing genocidal campaign carried out with full U.S. approval, demonstrating that the ceasefire is a tactical device for management of public opinion while the war goes on. As the latest crimes unfold in Gaza, the American and international media have increasingly focused on the U.S. intervention in Venezuela and on the explosive political crisis triggered by the murder of an American citizen by a federal immigration agent in Minneapolis, Minnesota, on Wednesday. In Venezuela, the arrest of Nicolas Maduro by U.S. forces is part of the same imperialist strategy of violence and conquest that has been driving the genocide in Gaza. At home, protests have erupted across the United States after an Immigration and Customs Enforcement ICE agent shot and killed 37-year-old U.S. citizen Renee Nicole Good in Minneapolis, with demonstrations spreading from Minnesota to cities across the country. Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance have rushed to defend the ICE agents, blaming the victim, denouncing protesters as quote-unquote domestic terrorists, and exonerating the shooter in a manner that mirrors the justification given for the slaughter of Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank. The genocidal conditions imposed on Gaza are expressed most graphically in the plight of Palestinian infants and small children. Al Jazeera reports that Doctors Without Borders, MSF, has warned of a surge in respiratory infections, skin diseases, and other illnesses among Palestinians living in makeshift shelters as Israel continues to block the entry of tents, tarps, and temporary housing amid freezing winter temperatures. MSF states that babies in Gaza are, quote, suffering from severe cold, end quote, as displaced families endure torrential rain and strong winds in flimsy tent encampments and ruined buildings with no heating, electricity, or proper clothing. In December, a two-week-old infant, Mohammed Khalil Abu Al-Khair, froze to death in Gaza after Israel's restrictions on shelter materials and aid turned the winter cold into a lethal weapon. The Trump administration is now preparing to dress up the ongoing massacre with a new stage-managed diplomatic facade. U.S. officials have leaked that Trump will soon announce the formation of a so-called Gaza Board of Peace, the body tasked under Washington's plan with overseeing Gaza's quote-unquote reconstruction, structuring its future administration, and distributing international funds. Trump has declared that he will personally lead this board, which is expected to comprise around 15 imperialist figures and their bourgeois nationalist partners, including representatives from the United Kingdom, France, Italy, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Turkey. Reports indicate that former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, notorious for his role in the carnage of the Iraq War, has been named as a founding member, while a former UN Middle East envoy has been designated as the board's representative, quote, on the ground, end quote, in Israel and Gaza. Nikolai Mladenov, named to head Trump's Board of Peace, is a right-wing Bulgarian politician and diplomat whose record is bound up with NATO's wars in the Middle East and the, quote-unquote, peace process now being used to cover the genocide in Gaza. His record, from Bulgaria's defense and foreign ministries through the UN missions in Iraq and Palestine, has been in the service of imperialism and colonialism. The purpose of this Board of Peace is not to end the suffering of the Palestinians, but to create a technocratic facade for a regime in Gaza that will exclude Palestinians from any governing role and ensure that reconstruction funds are tied to the political and economic dictates of the Trump White House. The board's purpose is to supervise the establishment of a quote-unquote Palestinian technocratic government and to police the enclave under the rubric of quote-unquote stability while the underlying structures of occupation and siege remain unchanged. The murderous strikes on tents, schools, and homes in Khan Yunis, Jabalia, and Zeytun, the freezing to death of infants, and the daily toll of Palestinians killed under the so-called ceasefire expose the situation in Gaza. It is an ongoing genocide carried out by Israel with the support of U.S. and European imperialism. The Trump administration's ceasefire, peace plan, and Board of Peace are instruments of this policy designed to deflect mass opposition and provide diplomatic cover for ethnic cleansing that aims to drive Palestinians out of the occupied territories. For these articles and more, visit the World Socialist website at wsws.org. For the World Socialist website, this has been Jesse Thomas.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.